The latest solution to Europe's debt problems? A stronger central government that can force countries to cut spending.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll hear about one county in the United States that's defying the slow economy and doing just fine. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are sharply higher this morning. The Dow up 293 points, about 2.6% at 11,525. NASDAQ up more than 3%, and S&P 500 up about 3% right now. European stocks also much higher, more than 4% right now in Paris. The markets are watching Europe, where there's talk this morning of creating a fiscal union so that a central government could force member countries to cut their budgets. It's the latest idea to solve a crisis that seems to be getting worse by the day. For more, let's bring in our regular Monday guest, Julia Coronado. She's chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live this morning from Montreal. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Julia, a fiscal union, is this the answer to Europe's debt problems?
Really, in one form or another, it is the only answer to Europe's debt problems. But getting there is not as simple as it sounds. It requires ratification of every member country. So we've still got a long road ahead of us.
Well, what about this idea, though, that European countries are going to be more difficult? It's going to be more difficult to put them into a situation like this where they have to listen to a central government because, let's say, they're, for instance, Germans first and Europeans second.
Well, what Germans are starting to realize and French and other countries is that it is in their best interest to stay together. They're starting to feel the economic pain that's resulting from the recession that's coming from this crisis. So as they understand that holding together means they'll all be better off, I think the political will starts to develop to move in that direction.
And Julia, is this a grand plan that can work or is it sort of too little too late like many of the others have been?
Well, that's the big risk here is that it's yet another solution that falls through. So the credibility is pretty stretched at this point. I'm hopeful, but certainly cautiously optimistic.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks as always. Well, the annual UN Climate Summit starts today in Durban, South Africa. You might remember last year's Cancun Summit for the groundbreaking deal that's being implemented at maybe I'm thinking of the one before in Copenhagen that produced a landmark agreement that, well, actually, these summits don't have a great track record. So joining us now to discuss what we might expect or not expect out of Durban is Marketplace Sustainability Desk reporter Eve Troe. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why do they keep holding these conferences if it doesn't seem like anything big ever happens at them?
Well, nothing big seems to happen, but little pieces of the puzzle do get figured out, and that's enough to keep people going. Last year in Mexico, we ended with a standing ovation, which I think was unprecedented. And we came out with something called the Cancun Agreements. That made progress on a few things: deforestation, getting funding and technology to poorer countries so they can fight climate change faster. But we also saw the Kyoto Protocol brought to the brink of death.
Yeah.
And all these countries that have signed on to legally binding emissions reductions targets said, hey, the U.S. and China, the biggest polluters in the world, are not even part of this. Why should we keep going?
And nothing really has changed on that front, right? The U.S. and China are not ready to sign on to the Kyoto Protocol.
No, definitely not. And the future of the Kyoto Protocol is really the big issue we'll see these next 2 weeks. It expires next year if the countries who are on it don't sign on for a second commitment period.
So what are we expecting out of the Durban conference?
Lots of people speculating on this. I talked to David Wasko. He's in charge of climate change for Oxfam America. He says there is a danger we could come out of these 2 weeks with agreements that add up to less than what we already have on the books.
If the U.S. puts down a really rigid red line in terms of what they want a country like China or India or Brazil, for example, to do, rather than finding ways to keep the ball rolling, we could see backsliding instead.
So backsliding would mean countries back out of Kyoto. They set voluntary targets for emissions, which I heard one expert describe as letting kids decide how much homework they want to do. Not very likely to get the job
Probably
done.
Probably not going to work. Marketplace's Eve Troe from our sustainability desk. Eve, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. and by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Now to a county in the United States where the unemployment rate is just 4.6%. The county has attracted the headquarters of six major corporations over the past few months. And it's a county whose neighbor just happens to be Washington, D.C. As Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, I'm talking about Fairfax County, Virginia.
The president of the Fairfax County Economic Development Authority, Gerald Gordon, knows how to joke about the huge federal sugar daddy right across the Potomac River.
The smartest economic development strategy we ever employed was locating next to the federal government. Brilliant.
The Development Authority has helped lure some prominent companies that aren't government contractors, like Hilton Hotels and Volkswagen of America. Stephen Fuller with the Center for Regional Analysis says those companies are attracted to powerful connections on a global scale.
There are 186 foreign embassies here. It's a good place to connect.
But Gordon recognizes the government's largesse isn't permanent.
If overall federal procurement declines, then other industries within Fairfax County prop up the economy and sustain it.
He says the new companies like Fairfax County because of its attractive tax incentives and skilled workers. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, if you've been having Thanksgiving leftovers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner this week and think it's weird to eat turkey and stuffing at 9 a.m., apparently it is not. Listen to some of these findings from the nation's fast food chains. Dunkin' Donuts says it sells tons of chicken salad sandwiches at breakfast time. McDonald's says 20% of cookies and apple pies are sold in the early morning hours. And Kellogg says about a third of all cereal is eaten at meals other than breakfast. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
We know a lot of iPods and iWhatevers are made in China, but we don't know where those factories actually are.
If they don't want to let the public know who their suppliers are, they should at least require the suppliers to disclose their own problems by themselves.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Apple supply chain, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.